Good day, everyone. Thanks for joining us and listening into this, our first audio blog that we're going to post on our website and make everybody aware of from time to time when we're sharing these things, probably every couple of months or so. We decided to go with this format because our conference calls seem to be at a less convenient time, more times than not, for most of our clients. Consequently, rather than trying to come up with a perfect time and day for that matter of the week, which would never happen, we felt that this would satisfy that little dilemma. Now, with that said, I will want to keep things short in these blogs. I don't want to wear anybody out listening to them, and for the same reason, so that they tune into us when we post a new one. You don't think that you're going to be listening to something for an hour or so. I'm going to try and keep them to 10 minutes, 10, 12 minutes in length, and then give you the opportunity to ask questions. So with that said, let's take a look at how the economy looks and what we expect and what kind of a strategy we're going to employ moving forward. And first of all, I think the important thing here is to look at what we've been listening to in the news and well, social media for that matter too, but people are studying the markets for themselves and concerned about what's going on, for example, with China and the U.S. and their trade war right now. What could that all be about? And I think the quick and easy answer for that one is that we just got to look at history here, and we can see that there's what we call a trade imbalance. Whenever a country is suffering from an imbalance, they can be certainly at a disadvantage. And I think that's the way the United States feels right now, is that they have more things coming into their economy from China than is going out in return to China. So there becomes an imbalance. Consequently, as you've seen, the U.S. government has put tariffs on things coming into the country to slow that down. And, of course, then China retaliates. And at some point in time, they're going to have to come together and negotiate a reasonable trade platform that they all agree with. Now, will that come anytime soon? Well, the more pressure that comes on, obviously they're going to be willing to make some concessions. At this point in time, though, it's possibly one can see is that both sides have kind of dug their heels in. Now, is that a huge concern moving forward? In the short term, it's a concern. In the long term, not so much. We still look at our strategy, which we'll talk about in just a minute. What else do we see? Well, we see interest rates coming down. And if you take a look back at when I discussed interest rates here a couple of times now in conference calls, last year I pointed out that back in March that I don't see interest rates going up, as some suggested they were going to, that in fact they were going to go up. And then in January, I reiterated that, even after a certain news media outlets and certain economists suggested that the interest rates were going up. Even the government, the Federal Reserve, was even suggesting the same thing. But in fact, as we saw, interest rates didn't go up. I don't expect them to go up in the near term. And in fact, they have come down. And what that has done, of course, this has affected our bond markets again, and it has improved them substantially over this last few months. Will that be an ongoing thing? It's highly unlikely. At some point in time, you will see interest rates going back up again, but we are coming close to what many believe is that we're headed into a recession. Now, could this be possibly true? Absolutely, it's true. When it's going to happen, I don't think anybody can guess when it's going to happen. And then what we might do is see another little correction here before that even takes place. So with all that said, is that a big concern of ours? And the answer to that question is absolutely not. It's what we expect. It's not what we were concerned about. It's a healthy process that the economy goes through, and we're very, very prepared for it. I don't think that any of us have got our heads stuck on the sand at HSI Financial Group, that's for sure. And we have a strategy that we employ to take advantage of situations like that. But there has to be a matter of understanding as well for the client, and then what to do and how should I react. The next thing is the elections coming up. Well, certainly that's going to be, again, a short-term event. As we well know, it comes and goes, and life goes on. Even if we don't agree with what's going on, it continues to move forward. Other things that are happening that we see, that we watch, is employment figures and numbers. We watch housing starts. We watch the inventories of businesses. These all are indicators, and some of them which are leading indicators to tell us what's going on in the economy. So we keep an eye on that. We know what's going on there. Yeah, if one could say, well, it's bad news, and I don't look at it as necessarily. It's bad for the people that it affects. I feel sorry for them. But for us, from an investor's perspective, we go with the flow. And we want to employ what I believe is a strong strategy that gets us through these things. Now, I've had many years, and quite a few of our clients have experienced that with me, of experience going through these things. I've gone through several, and I've retired hundreds of clients successfully, and that's what I aim to do with all of our clients, and keep them accountable so they achieve their ideal lifestyle, financial lifestyle. But, of course, that's a matter of keeping up to speed and listening in on these type of recordings or conference calls or showing up for reviews or making reviews. And that's what we're in the middle of right now, too, is getting prepared for the fall. I'm having Lee contact everybody over the next month and a half, and then arranging review meetings for the next fall time period. These times get booked up rather quickly. Then we fill up, and then we have to go look into the new year. But, you know, whenever there's an emergency and somebody has to deal with something right away, we'll certainly be on top of that. But let's just talk a little bit about our strategy now. What we do all the time, for that matter. And I think that it's important to understand, first of all, the mistakes that people make. And then what I see is, as far as mistakes, is when folks or the consumer chases things. They chase returns, or they'll chase mutual funds for returns. They'll chase individual positions like a company. When it's going up, they're purchasing it, and that's when they feel good about things. And when it starts to go down, they start selling things. And just the opposite of the approach that should be undertaken. Hence why we are there for you to protect you essentially from yourself from making those mistakes and keeping you on track. And then, of course, too, we're selecting managers that employ a certain strategy as well. And we make sure that we, of course, those people are handpicked by us, and we make sure that they're consistent with what we want to do, what we want to accomplish, that they match our philosophy and it makes economic sense. So aside from keeping your eye on the economy, one of the things that I like to explain to folks when they first start investing with us is, let's just take a look at the logic, and this is how we select the manager. So we'll take David Fingold for an example. He's a very good example, in fact. David came out and spoke to us. I had him in last year at our client event in the middle of the year, and he shared with us his management style for the IA Dynamic Global Dividend Fund. And one of his points was, which is very consistent with what we believe in, what I believe in, is that we buy quality companies. Quality companies don't, and let's just say, let's further that, quality companies that don't have debt, which is a huge thing, which I really like about his style, is he doesn't buy companies that have a substantial amount of debt. Companies that don't have debt don't go bankrupt, as he put it, and I agree with that point, and I think many of you would as well. So we want to buy quality companies. We want to buy them at a reasonable price. And you can't necessarily buy things at a reasonable price if they're just going up. So David's approach is to buy those quality companies and study those companies, but of course purchasing them at a reasonable price that reflects where they are at the present moment in time. Now, if we go ahead and we take the reins out of David's hands and we make these decisions for him and say, well, I don't want to be in the markets right now. I want to be in cash. Your opportunity for growth has been severely paired at that point in time, because then David can't do his job. And you see, the thing is, most importantly, is that companies, quality companies, are not closing their doors during recessions. As I say to folks, you know, if we're going through a bad spell, go out, take a look at what's in our portfolio, go out and visit those places like the Royal Banks. And when I talk about the banks, I'm saying we're not putting our money in the bank. What we're doing is buying a piece of the bank. Are their doors closed during recessions? Is Canadian Tire's doors closed? Is Walmart's doors closed during a recession? And what you'll find is a lot of times those places actually flourish during those periods. But their prices, the price at which they're trading at, that people want to buy their shares at, is low. And that's not a bad thing. So that's when we're buying a quality company at a discounted price. Now, we can't do that if we take the reins out of the hands of the manager, which is contrary, unfortunately, to the way a lot of people believe during a difficult time. So what do? We're standing back, and we're both not standing back. Certainly, as I said earlier, we handpick those managers to do the job for us. Then we go ahead, we execute, and then we give that person, that manager, the reins to do his or her job until he or she, and we've had a few of these in the past, and we've got them now, where they've outlived their usefulness, or they've moved to another company and they're managing someplace else. They're managing money for someone else. They've changed portfolios. So then we keep an eye on that as well. And we're going through that little moment in time right now with a few managers, and we're making adjustments to that as we speak. So how do we as the consumer have reassurance in what we're doing? I want to use that same example about buying a quality company or chasing returns with another manager that we just recently brought in from Quebec. Manages one of the funds that I'm very interested in. We're not going into it wholesale at this point in time. But he pointed out where you start to buy companies that have outlived their economic cycle or their economic life cycle, like Blockbuster as an example. So if you had that company, well, you're not very happy if you had it when it was closing its doors. So that's what we're paying those managers to do. But yet, you know, what happens more times than not is that the consumer pays attention to a very narrow window. It might be narrow in time, but more so narrow in observation too. We can use another example of Subway, the Subway franchise, that right now is experiencing a lot of difficulties. But if we just looked at one individual store, we might think, oh, they're doing fantastic. But in fact, they're closing hundreds of stores right now because they're not keeping up. So these are the kind of things that we study. We want to make sure that we're in a position to take advantage of things. And that's what we're very comfortable with right now. We're feeling very good about where we're at, the managers that we've chosen. We know there's going to be a correction, and we're actually looking forward to it. That's at the time when the managers can take advantage of things. They can't take advantage of things in as big a way, but when things are going up and things are moving along at a fast pace and you see the markets going up and prices going up, that's not when we want to take advantage of things. So that's why I'm saying, and I'm encouraging our clients, as I always have been at it for 35 years, of expressing these same thoughts. And they have always been valuable. We're not right all the time. That's why we don't specifically say it's going to happen at this point in time or that point in time, because none of us know when it's actually, when something like a recession is going to kick in. So we don't make that crystal ball prediction. We just make good choices in who we put our money with. So we don't make bad choices with our money. And that's what all of us want to do, is make the very best choices, and we need the tools to do it. And they got to complement your financial plan. And that's what we do, is we make sure during our reviews that this is all complementing your financial plan and that it's going to work. It has the greatest probability of success. And I really want to stress that's why it is important that you come in for reviews on a regular basis. And we reevaluate where you are to make sure things are working out. But that also gives you the confidence that it is, in fact, working. And it does work. And I want to make sure that our clients experience the same positive results that so many others have over the years of working with HSI. So listen, with that said, I just want to say I really do appreciate the confidence that you've shown us at HSI. And I want to just say so long for now. We look forward to your questions, and we're certainly going to look forward to speaking to you in the very near future. So long for now.